to our motoring man, Ernest Page. He is, of course, a retired stunt driver and a current motoring journalist based right here in Cape Town. You can find him on his YouTube channel and Facebook page, Performance with Page. And you'll also catch him from time to time on Ignition TV, channel 189 on the DSTV network. Ernest is going to talk to us about a couple of new vehicles he's had the experience of driving in the last week or so. And then we will open the lines for your questions. They're already starting to come in on the WhatsApp line. Keep them coming, please, to 072-567-1567. Ernest, always great to have you with us. Welcome back.
So good to be back, Papa. And just the other day, I was driving through Constantia's side of the world, and there were a bunch of baboons there. I think for us out in Milton Bloberg side, we don't know about this problem.
You know, I've been driving around with an exchange student visiting the last few weeks, Ernest, and we kind of take for granted that they're just a regular part of the landscape, and then you see somebody who's not used to encountering them, and the shock and the excitement and how strange it is for them to see a wild animal in the middle of a city area or on the urban fringe, etc. It does put a new perspective on how significant a thing it is that we maybe lose sight of. But of course, for the people who are living on that edge, interacting with them daily, it's a very big deal indeed. Ernest, okay, well, we could put a whole troop of baboons into the first vehicle you've been driving this week, but at least a large family and some surfboards, I think, as well. Tell us about the Zafira. It's not a vehicle I'm at all familiar with.
Well, thanks for that joke, because my personal troop of baboons, my close friends, were with me in the Zafira, and I will be using that going forward over the next couple of days.
Oh dear, don't quote me.
No. I'll take the full responsibility for that one. We went to the races on Saturday. It was the All-Tar Rally event on Saturday, and a couple of my friends were competing. And so I said, look, I'll bring the Opel Zafira as our crew bus for the weekend to get the full effect of what it's like to drive around with all your friends, all the gear, spare wheels, tools, laptops, everything in the van. And during the day, we kind of were sitting in the van. We have got the laptop in the center, the two drivers and at the back watching the footage of their racing. And I'm in front, and the one guy comments that this is van life. Like, anybody that's owned a van, that's experienced a van, my parents had one, my best friend had one in high school, and I kind of thought back to those times. They were very special times. And if I think back to the times I've spent with vans, I've always kind of enjoyed it, because it creates this sort of party atmosphere inside a vehicle that you don't really get with even a Bucky, to be honest.
Yeah.
So the Zafira, looking at the Zafira was very interesting from that perspective. And then what I've also done is I've done some research and come up with all the competitors in that segment. And the van segment in South Africa is one that's been flying under the radar for a while. But if you try and buy a Mercedes-Benz van, there's a waiting list. If you try and buy a couple of Toyota vans, there's a waiting list. The Staria, the futuristic-looking Honda, looks very, very, it's very, very popular at the moment. So it's a very busy segment that is picking up momentum, because it's basically a big SUV in a nutshell. And so the van market took a massive dip for decades, and now it's back on the resurgence with a lot of new options, including this new Zafira, which... The big plus for the new Zafira, either the Life Edition, that's the entry-level one, is that it's, compared to the others, it's good value for money. You're looking at between 750 and 869 for the top spec one. And the top spec one is supposed to compete with the V-Class or Mercedes-Benz, which is the figurehead of this segment. If you're in that business, you're looking for a luxury van, you're going to look at a Vita. But you're going to pay up to 1.8 million for that Mercedes Benz. It does start at 600 for the base bid, truth be told, but you can pay up to 1.8 million. So where the Zafira wins is good value for money and really fantastic fuel consumption.
Ah, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. And I say that from experience of having carted the whole family and the windsurfer boards around in one of these vehicles from time to time, Ernest. It chows the petrol. So the petrol consumption is competitive on the Opel.
Very competitive. It's got a 2-liter diesel engine with 110 kilowatts and 370 newtons. Over enough power, even fully loaded, so no issues there. And you can get below 7 liters per 100 on that little 2-liter engine. So the diesel motor on this works really, really well, and it's good fuel consumption in this car. They are, as I mentioned, it's very important to note for this segment, and it's not necessarily the segment that I'm the most well-versed on, so I've got to mention the other cars in this category as well, and that would be the Kombi Caravelle, the Kia Carnival, the Hyundai Stadia, as mentioned, the Toyota Quantum, and then the V-Class. And there is a very good article on cars.co.za about these cars, so you can check that out. But as always, I think it's important to test drive it. Having said that, with this type of vehicle, an extended test drive is an absolute must, okay, because you want to check how easily do the seats come out. What is the configuration of the seats on this one? For example, it's very simple to take the seats out of this car compared to the Ford version, the Ford Tourneo van, which has also got very much configurative seats, but it's super difficult to take out, and it took me like half a day to just figure it out.
Okay.
So it's those type of things that you want to check. How many cup holders does it have? What are the armrests like to live with? The driving position on these vans is so important, because I think in a van you're going to be spending hours and hours on the road.
Yeah.
And the Zafira's driving position is just amazing. But again, when I drove the Stadia, driving position is good, but if you look at the side of the Stadia, the window drops all the way down, so it feels like people can look inside the van. But when I told this to a friend of mine on the weekend, she said she loves the fact that the windows are so big on the side, because she can see everything out the side of the vehicle. So this is very much a personal preference sort of thing. It's a lifestyle vehicle if it's not for your business. So for me, an extended test drive on the shortlist is what's called for in this segment.
That's really good advice. Thank you, Ernest. So the Opel Zafira, the Life Edition, is what Ernest was driving. And if you want to take a look at the comparisons of what else is available in that segment, thanks for the reference to cars.co.za to read up more on the site. The Zafira starting from 749,000 Rand for the basic model, and then up to about 850 at the top spec. Let's squeeze in a couple of listener questions. If time allows, we'll come back to the other review. Otherwise, Ernest will leave that for next week. But I did promise the person who sent this question last week that we would ask it this week. They're in the position of having a mom who is giving up driving and wants to gift her car to her daughter who lives in Johannesburg. And the question is, do we send it up to Joburg with the current license, which is due to expire quite soon, or do we have to relicense it here first? Will she need to relicense it again in Johannesburg, or can she wait for next year? What would your advice be, Ernest?
So, technically, what you're supposed to do is get the car transferred onto her name. That is the correct technical answer, and you're supposed to then get the license and all those other things up to date, sort out the roadworthy. It's like selling a car, basically.
Yeah.
She can, if she wants to, loan it to her as a loan car until the license is due for renewal, and then do the transfer then. But it's pretty common for people to in South Africa to lend a car to their kids and then do the insurance under their own name, etc. I'm not exactly sure what the legal ramifications are of that, but the technical correct way to do it is to pass the car onto the daughter as if she was selling the car, just to avoid any sort of complications, policy complications,
right,
ownership complications down the line.
Okay, thank you. Very important to have the conversation with your insurer to check what is covered and what is not. So thank you for that advice. And good luck with the process. I hope it runs smoothly. Another question in on the WhatsApp. Please would you ask Ernest his opinion of the new Ford Everest, which is arriving soon in South Africa, compared to the Toyota Fortuner?
So this is a very interesting question, because I don't know what the Everest is like to drive or live with. But we did do some information on that a couple of weeks ago about all the tech specs and the size differences and the incredible infotainment system. That's the big infotainment system, the new interior, the spacious interior, etc., etc., the engine range. There's a whole bunch of new upgrades. So what this does is this does separate from the Fortuner ever so slightly, because up until now, each facelift of each of those two cars has produced one that is better than the other. For example, the Fortuner, which I didn't like at first, to be honest, the Everest drove slightly better once Ford did the suspension update. Toyota responded with a suspension update of their own and then made the new Fortuner drive really, really well. In fact, the suspension is completely revised on the current Fortuner. So the two of them are very evenly matched at this stage. It's more down to a preference thing. But now, with the new Ford Everest, I think it's going to take a big jump forward, and we've already seen that with the jump forward from any of the new Buckies coming out to the current Toyota Hilux. That Toyota Hilux and that Fortuner isn't due to be replaced in the next maybe year or two, maybe more. I'm not sure, but it's not due to be replaced anytime soon. So if you're in the market for the best possible option, then a newer version might be a better deal. So the Ford Everest might definitely be worth a look because it's going to be so much more modern than the existing Ford Toyota Fortuna policy.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, it links very neatly to the next question that's come in, which is also about the issue of do you wait for the new version or stick with what you've got? Interesting question. I know Suzuki, the person writes, has a new Vitara Brezza coming to market soon. How is that likely to impact resale value on the existing models? Should I be looking to offload mine in a hurry now?
It's tough. It's a tough one because when it comes to South Africa and the current market, it's so complex right now because the market is, in my opinion, in a bubble. The prices are inflated in the used car market at the moment. So now, and this is not me giving official advice, but based on my research, now is probably going to be one of the best times to sell your used car, just for the fact that if the market does drop by 20%, then you're not going to be losing out. So it's possibly best to be selling now if you're wanting to get the new one down the line. Holding on to an asset like that or depreciating asset like that is always a risk when the new one comes up. With Suzuki, this is a new one because with certain cars, resale value stays up very high. So on a Fortuna, for example, I can tell you, doesn't matter when you sell your Fortuna, you're always going to get your money back. Mm-hmm. But he's right. The new Brezza is on its way. It doesn't look very different, but it is a new generation version. So, yes, it is going to affect the price. How much are you going to lose on a car that's under 400,000? I don't think too much, especially not of that car. They do maintain their value quite well, and it's still a good car. It's still pretty new in South Africa. So I don't think that's the end of the world. But look, as I said, the market's in a very strange place right now. I was talking to someone at the Honda launch the other day, one of the execs at Honda, and just trying to everybody's discussing this because we don't know what's going to happen next. It's one of the first times we've been in a situation like this, and the market's been expanding, and the recession is here now. So surely the prices should come down, but they're not. So I would say now, my estimation is that now in the next 3 to 6 months, maybe 12 months is probably the best time to sell. The used car market might drop, I think, 20% in the next couple of months. So technically, yes. But I would say wait for the new one, test drive the new one. Maybe Suzuki will give you a fantastic buyback on the old one. Maybe find out from your dealer what the buyback on that car is going to be.
Good advice, Ernest. Thank you very, very much. And good luck, whoever sent that question, whatever you decide. Ernest, as always, thank you so much for the advice you share with our listeners. If they are sitting only now thinking of a question that they're meant to put to you and they don't want to wait until next week, Wednesday, can they drop you a line via your Facebook page?
Yes, indeed. They can send a message at Performance with Paige, and I will get to that, and we can make sure we get into that in detail.
Ernest Paige, thank you so much, and we look forward to having you back with us again next week.